Hello, my name is Noel Bell. This is a podcast on being the other woman in an affair, being the other single woman. And I'm joined today by Tricia Ebay, a counsellor in West London, who has written an article on this. Tricia, delighted to have you today on the podcast.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
So, Tricia, your article is Being the Other Woman, the Other Side of Infidelity. Big area, the whole area of affairs and quote, alternative relationship lifestyles.
Indeed.
What motivated you to write the article you did?
A lot of my work has been around relationships, and I feel that the other woman side of things is one that it's almost seen as a bit of a taboo. It felt very much people didn't understand the perspective of what it's like to be the other woman. She was often villainized, seen as a home wrecker, and a number of other sort of derogatory sort of names. But I wanted to share and show that there was support for the other woman, what it's like to be there, and that there are, in some ways, two or three sides to every story, and just to show how it feels to be in those shoes.
You were saying that your article has been picked up, got a lot of traction in the United States, people contacting you from there.
Yes, it has. I mean, that was a little bit of a surprise because I've published it on Counseling Directory. It's also on my website, and it was published in October 2023. And up until recently, just say in this last couple of weeks, I've had numerous inquiries from people in the States. And actually, that was a little bit of a surprise to me because being such a big country itself, I might have thought there'd be, support for them to access there. But this article seems to really hit home with a lot of people in those situations. And really, they're wanting to reach out and talk to someone who understands, is non-judgmental, can be supportive and offer some guidance. So, yeah.
I mean, this is a huge area, and obviously, we're coming at it from a specific angle, that of an affair from the perspective of the single woman rather than the betrayed wife, or
Yes.
even from alternative lifestyles around ethical non-monogamy,
Yes.
polyamory. What we're essentially, and this probably is what fuels a lot of the stigma and judgments, because some people see this as the kind of area of non-ethical non-monogamy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the non-ethical side comes in that there's a married woman here, the wife of the man, who is oblivious, who has no idea that this affair is going on. The difference in ethical non-monogamy, whether it be just that some people have a don't ask, don't tell kind of relationship, some it's purely open, sometimes it's couples doing things together, a swing-in. But this is very different in that the other woman is kept secret, usually from everybody in the married man's life, but most of all his wife. So it really creates a very different type of relationship. There's a certain balance. There can be a lot of rules around when she contacts him. The other woman cannot just send a text out of the blue. It has to be, on the man's say so, or there has to be a secret app that they use for their communication.
We're on to that aspect of the article, which I thought was quite interesting, the highs. So you go into the highs and the lows that she might be experiencing. So as we see there, hope for the future, feeling desired, and the thrill. So let's just talk about that a bit, because it sounds like there's a lot of hormones present,
Absolutely,
adrenaline,
absolutely.
all the exciting ones, the dopamine, maybe the serotonin, the oxygen, everything's floating around. Potentially, it sounds like for someone in this aspect, the highest part is the exhilaration, the intoxication. So, do you want to just talk a bit about
Yeah,
the
sure.
highs?
I mean, the highs are really what keep it going. The highs can be so high, there can be a lot of talk from the married man about, we will be together. He may go through a number of reasons why it can't happen at this point in time. As I've sort of mentioned there can be the children a bit young, and or my wife's going to take the children away, I won't see them. But there can be those, when there is hope for the future, it's kind of, there's this light at the end of the tunnel, and that you feel all of this is worthwhile. So that really keeps them going. He will be mine one day. We'll have this primary relationship. And it can sound very genuine from the man. Sometimes it is genuine. It doesn't always feel that way. And then there's the feeling of that really being desired, someone who's treating you very well. And sometimes, particularly if the other woman has previously been in an abusive relationship or a string of abusive relationships or relationships that weren't going so well, this attention is really great. And it's an ego boost. It can make her feel that she is worthy of sort of being loved, and that she's valuable. The married man will often say, "You make it worth it. Oh, the only reason I can stay in my marriage is because of you. Just this sort of moment of coming to see you is really what keeps me going." Makes her feel really, really special, and so that creates that high. And then, of course, there's the thrill as well. Sometimes things which are like a tryst and a bit secretive and not so open can really evoke a kind of thrill and excitement and sense of adventure. The secrecy is what some people thrive on. But it's very different for every other woman. They won't always feel that way, but sometimes it's a real high, and that keeps the hope going.
And this is sort of the area of potentially forbidden fruit, stolen moments.
Absolutely. And some of my work and research is, and that particular quote that you have there, where's that absolute thrill that I quoted there, where, another woman online, so it was in an open forum, has clearly sort of said, MM's wife is going away this weekend. We get to spend a whole week together. I'm going to be with him for the night in a way that she normally can't, because he would always otherwise be going home to his wife. So there's that excitement over it.
And that makes the time together potentially more exhilarating as a result.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just, it's not your regular relationship for this weekend. You can sort of be in that bubble that, perhaps if you can put the wife out of your mind because you've got that weekend, you get almost the real girlfriend feel. He's not having to go home, or I'm going to be with him. He can stay with me, or I can go over to his house because she's not there. And it's very, very, it creates that thrill of it for some people. I mean, again, I wouldn't want to totally generalize because everybody's experience is different. For some other women, this may also come with feelings of guilt, feeling that sneaking around. But for some, there's an absolute thrill and high about it.
But even the guilt could potentially be eroticized, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And depending why people have found themselves in this situation, many people don't set out to become the other woman. There's different ways these relationships develop, sometimes through being deceived in the first place, not realizing it. But then by that time, sometimes there's a lot of emotions that have been poured into it, and there's a feeling of not getting out. But absolutely, the highs, the thrill of it, the it's not your everyday relationship is quite a thrill for some people.
So much, Tricia. I mean, attachment theory has had a, I think it has had a massive, it's got really popular again. I'm not sure it ever really went away, but it seems like it's one of the most searched terms, that and ADHD, amongst people looking for help. And I'm just wondering, I'm sort of thinking of Pia Mellody's work and Melanie Beattie's and other people from the 80s. When we're talking about attachment styles, is it fair to say that the single other woman in this situation is, what do you think her attachment style is? Because she could be the avoidant one who is looking to be in a relationship with someone who's not available. So her issues of abandonment can either be reenacted, or if the expectation is so low from the start, then that keeps a sort of expectations in check.
Absolutely. And those are very good points. And for some people, they've gone through a string of relationships where they are the other woman. And it sort of begs the question here, how do you repeatedly find yourself in these situations? And there might be a fear of abandonment. And so, as you said, if you set your standards and expectations lower, you will probably not feel necessarily abandoned by the married man, because you know that he has a primary relationship elsewhere. He's got a commitment to someone else. So you are okay accepting those times together. So, you know, a lot of that can come into play. The you know, sometimes there's that anxious attachment or the, you know, really, yeah, the avoidant fear of commitment in themselves. You know, I don't have the time for a full-time relationship, so this meets my needs right now. This meets what I want.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it could be that the love avoidant is the person, is the woman who's meeting a similar avoidant man in marriage, and that's the affair. Or it could be love addict meeting a love addict, or a love addict meeting the love avoidant, because the man is going to be avoidant because he's otherwise engaged, he's with the wife, and that sets up a yin and yang, a push and pull.
The push and pull that you mentioned, I mean, that applies in so many different ways. It really does, from the perspective of the other woman, there can really be this push pull in this type of relationship, because sometimes, you know, you don't know your left from your right, you don't know whether you're coming or going. You can spend those times with the MM and it's really feeling great. And then he may sometimes have these feelings of guilt afterwards and sort of pull away. And so you sometimes like feeling that you don't know where you sort of stand, and you're trying to sometimes mold yourself into the person that his wife is not, where he might have mentioned sort of complaints. So you don't, you know, as the other one, sometimes you don't want to complain because you don't want to sound like what he's got at home. So yeah, a lot of mental gymnastics can go into this, and it can take a toll emotionally for the other woman.
Very interesting, isn't it? And that takes us on, probably, Tricia, seamlessly into this, the lows.
Yeah.
Jealous of his wife, low self-esteem. That's probably where some of the low feelings of self-worth get reenacted, and the emotional turmoil. So do you want to say something about that?
A lot of people feel in a situation like this, well, you went into this, you knew he was married, so how can you be jealous? And actually, it doesn't mean because you knew something, you're not going to feel that way. There can still be a feeling of, why haven't I been chosen here? Because, you know, if he keeps on saying how bad the marriage is and I'm giving him everything, why won't he be here? So there is the jealousy that she's the one who he gets to go home to every night. She's the one who gets to go on holidays. She's the one who's posted on his Facebook page. And that can really feel like a stab. And sometimes, strangely enough, it feels like a betrayal to the other woman. And a lot of people might say, well, how can that be? You are the other woman. This is surely what you expect. But human beings have feelings and have emotions, and it doesn't negate from those feelings. And something that I captured, you know, which I'd seen in doing some of my research, in the words of another woman, was that MM's going on holiday with his wife and his children. How am I going to handle this? It's even more challenging if married man acts like he doesn't really want to go on this holiday. But in this particular case, the OW had actually said, well, he's actually the one who's done all the research for this. And again, this was from an online open forum. So I just want to be clear about that. This is not anything to do with any of my clients.
Yeah, sure.
You're left in sort of doubt. Is he really telling me the truth, but that he doesn't want to go? Mm. And how can that be on the other hand? So the actions, his actions seem to be contradictory to some of what the other woman is hearing. So yeah, a lot of jealousy can come up in those situations. And then really the low self-esteem, because over and over, it's a feeling of, why am I not being chosen? Why can I not be the primary relationship? If he makes me so happy, what's keeping him in that marriage or that long-term relationship? If he's as miserable as he is, if he's in a dead bedroom situation, if they don't share a bed, if they've got separate rooms, as he says, you know, it's like, am I that unworthy of love that he wouldn't choose to be with me? Because from a common sense, maybe logistical point of view, people might say, well, if you've got something good on one hand and something bad on the other hand, you choose the good thing.
Yeah.
But you know, this is much more complex than that.
There must be research on this, and it's probably an obvious question. Do you know what the success is of people who form a relationship following an affair? What the success of that?
Mm. Not specifically, but I mean, some of my sort of work and research, generally, second marriages have a lower success rate than first ones. So whether that's because of an affair or not, that there is generally that they have a lower success rate. And I feel that can be for a multitude of reasons, one being potentially because children are involved, children sometimes from a previous relationships, and they can place some degree of strain on relationships anyway. And then sometimes it's the trust as well.
Research might lack the, or the data might lack the nuance of whether the second marriages
Yeah, no,
are the
absolutely.
product of an affair.
But I will say that in some of my readings online, you know, there's been situations where adults who are now potentially, say, getting married or something, have said their father left them, left the mum for the other woman. And actually, the second marriage has lasted much longer than the first. Very often, what they're talking about is when they come together for family occasions, even when the second marriage has lasted 20, 30 years, how their mother would still feel uncomfortable being in a room with us. So sometimes there is a fact that the second marriage does have its longevity. And that's another sort of spanner in the works in some of these relationships.
So D-Day.
D-Day. Now that is a difficult day for, if I say all three people in this situation. So the other woman, the betrayed wife, and the married man. Absolute devastation. As I've said, there's a number of ways how she may discover or become aware of the affair, but usually the result is the same. It's devastation. And a number of things can happen at that point. The wife can be very annoyed and decide there's no reconciliation, there's no coming back from this, we're done, out you go. Or there's a real attempt to get things back on track, find out what's gone wrong. But from the perspective of the other woman, the difficulty here is sometimes she may just receive a quick text to say, wife knows, and nothing more. And she's kind of left in the balance as to, well, what's going on? Will I hear
That's
from
the
you
radio
again?
silence.
Radio silence. And sometimes at that point, she's just blocked, immediately blocked. So no way of further contacting. And you can imagine for someone who has been in a relationship with someone for, and it can be many years. Sometimes these affairs have gone on for a year, 2 years, three, four, five, many, many years. That can be quite devastating to have someone who you are speaking to every day suddenly just gone and you don't know what's happening.
And of course, there can be so much nuance to this. If it's work affairs, it's further complicated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because there can then be the fear of the other woman. Okay, what's going to happen? Is she going to tell if we're co-workers or colleagues, is she going to contact, you know, the workplace? If he's my boss, is she going to report this to HR? Is this allowed in our company? Will my reputation be tarnished? Will she contact my family members? Is he going to tell her who I actually am? Because sometimes the wife just knows about the affair but doesn't know who the other woman is. So there's so much, you know, so much to think about for the other woman there.
We're on to the role of counselling. This is quite, could potentially be very deep work. People's attachments could be early trauma reenactment. There's potentially addictions. There's potentially repeat behaviour. There might also be personality disorders present. It can be very complicated work, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, all of the above. And you know, a lot of times when someone enters an affair and when they end it, they themselves will say, I'm a shadow of the person that I used to be. My this whole affair has changed my personality. They've twisted themselves to mold into what someone else wants, and they've become someone that they don't even recognize themselves. And it's now just been left trying to find themselves. So that often is a lot of exploration that needs to be done around that. And them just needing the support of someone who's not going to judge the way often the rest of the world might judge them or society in general. Someone who's going to really just, you know, have unconditional positive regard for their situation.
It can be very, like sometimes there can be the existential kind of themes present. I mean, ultimately, fear of death. And if you think about an affair. I mean, I'm thinking about people write and say things like, Esther Perel and people like that who've done some really good work on this, that what people are really engaged in is a reactivation of their own exhilaration, their own life force. It's the kind of in their own mind, they're going to a naughty part of town. And that's what they're really dialoguing with. So what she often says is if someone can reincorporate the excitement, the exhilaration, the bit of recklessness that they get from an affair and bring that into their primary relationship, if they're in a relationship, I suppose that's from the perspective of the betrayed wife, but if the single woman can bring that into her life, then so goes the theory, there wouldn't be any need for the affair. What do you think of that?
Well, I think people are very different. And some people are what is called cake eaters, and they don't necessarily have a problem in their primary relationship, and they will, have an affair regardless.
They just want more.
They just want more. And there's something I read some years ago, and it's always sort of stuck with me in an online forum where a betrayed wife came to talk about the infidelity in her marriage. She'd been married for 11 years, I believe, at that point. And he said in the 11 years of their marriage, they had had sex every single day. So when he had an affair, she thought, this can't be right. And when she asked him why, he said, I just wanted something different. I wanted to see that I was capable of this. So that really was a mind boggle. That was saying this can't be, because for a lot of people, the lack of intimacy is one of the reasons that they would cite as sort of wandering and straying away from the marriage. For this, she could not get that around her head. So there will be some people who have different reasons for doing what they're doing. And in some situations, when there's a reconciliation that happens, and when they go to relationship couples counseling to try and I wouldn't say, there's a reason to do this, but there might be underlying issues in the marriage. Resentment may have built up from other areas, and then it makes somebody feel entitled. So there's a justification. Well, I'm financially supporting this family. I work from, I work 10 hours a day. I'm feeling neglected because my wife's looking after the children. And you there's a talking themselves into this. I deserve this little bit. This is for me, So very deep. It can be very deep. A lot of complicated sort of reasons, a lot of self-esteem. Even sometimes, we sort of mention their self-esteem for the other woman. There's also sometimes that self-esteem for the married man in terms of this is an ego boost. This is, I have someone who deals with the children, the family, the domestic issues, and I've got someone who is kind of can be like my escape from all of that.
So that is the archetype of the mistress, the whore,
The Madonna whore
the
complex,
Madonna whore
absolutely.
is there, yeah.
So I've got this here and I've got that there, and sometimes the married man might not necessarily want his wife to be like the other woman. One thing I'll say is there can be very common themes and there can be very individual differences because as human beings, we are all so different in that way. And people's stories, again, there'll be common themes and then there will be the individual differences, which really are with counseling what we get to the, try to get to the root of and the core of and give that support. Because it is a lot of support, as I say, in these situations, you cannot always go and tell your friends and family what's going on because you feel that they may judge you, they may not approve. It's very different. So it's having that neutral, unbiased third party to work through things with, whether you're in the affair or whether it's over, because each have their difficulties.
So people can suffer in silence. Tricia, your training, that was there much around your formal training, was there much around relationships and sex and alternative lifestyles?
Not alternative lifestyles, no. There was around intimacy, relationships, because it was recognized that that
Around the
was,
attunement and yeah.
the relationships are often one of the reasons, or the challenges in relationships, are one of the reasons that people will come to seek counseling. And then I did additional training in the area of couples, and actually not necessarily formal training, but prior to even becoming a counselor myself, my interest in couples had stayed back, had been for a while. So I used to do marriage preparation delivery. I used to do courses for engaged couples coming to who were going to be getting married in the Catholic Church. It's a mandatory, compulsory marriage preparation that they have to do, and I used to do that. And then I also was a facilitator for a program that was established where married couples would go into a school and talk to, well, more be asked questions. The children of a certain age, sort of 15, I think, upwards, had the opportunity to ask them about issues in their relationship. So it was really the hopes and fears of marriage. So we would sort of split them up. So I would facilitate that discussion between the children and the married couple, who would, the children would ask, what would you hope for? What fears, what challenges have you faced? And they would be very open with their time and their answers, and sort of discussing these things with them. So yeah, that was a very interesting area of couples work.
Fascinating. Tricia, we could potentially talk about so many different aspects, but I'll have you back on, no doubt.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So I've really enjoyed the chat. Do you want to just say how people would contact you if they're interested?
Yeah, sure. So I have a website. It's called aspirerelationships.com, www.aspirerelationships.com. You can find my details there. I'm also on Counseling Directory and the BACP directory as well.
Fantastic. How has this felt? Anything before we finish that you wanted to say that you haven't said?
No, just it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about that, because it really is something that I'm quite passionate about, relationships in general, as from the name of my website. And this is it's been a great opportunity to be able to just talk a little bit more about the article. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, we met at a professional networking event, I suppose you could call it. And
Yeah.
when you mentioned the article, and when I looked it up, it really spoke to me as something that was well researched and was informed by some really good insights. It just seemed like a really natural thing to do to want to chat
Yeah.
further.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you. And yeah, really appreciate that. It's great feedback.
Thank you, Tricia.
Thanks very much.